From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Game week 4 awaits, and to FPL managers having bad runs, Eric Dyer, this could be you, we're here with the vital advice that you need, all the latest news and views to prepare your crews for this weekend's big points bonanza. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, FPL manager. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us. We've got another half hour here of hot, helpful hints on the fantasy business, courtesy of football writers and authors, indeed, Tom Williams and Daniel Story. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Hello, James.
And from the FPL family, Lee Bonfield. Hi, Lee.
Hello, James.
Hello to you. Daniel Story, you're currently ranked the highest of all four of us here, you know. And when I say at the highest, I mean least lowest, because you're actually close to 2 millionth in the world.
Yeah, it's embarrassing for us all, that statistic.
To what do you owe your enormous success so far, Daniel?
Transferring out Heung-min Son before he scored 4 goals for Mason Greenwood, who scored 1 point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as you point out, we've all been struggling a bit. Daniel, you got 46 points this weekend. Tom, you got 44. Lee, you got 36.
It was a bad one. Yes, it was a bad one. Yeah, everything seemed to go against me this week. But I'm not panicking, James. Not panicking.
Right. Perhaps you will when I tell you got 2 points less than me. I personally wildcarded and was rewarded with 38 points for my dream team. Just to clarify, if I'd kept the players that I'd had before all of this, I'd have got 65 points and I'd still have a wildcard.
Oh, you never do that, James.
Never do that.
Cardinal sin of wildcarding. Don't look back.
65 points. I wasn't the only one as well. Over 500,000 managers worldwide played the wild card. And the average number of points they got was just 41. It was a weekend with loads of goals as usual and loads of surprises. But it was a low scoring average week for fantasy managers. Why was that?
I think it was a really unusual game week, wasn't it? There was just so much unusual stuff that happened. You had the Bruno Fernandes handball situation penalty after the full-time whistle, which I think netted him a double-digit haul for FPL managers that had him. You had Wolves' horrendous display at West Ham, which we weren't expecting. We had Chelsea 3-0 down at half-time against West Brom. And then, of course, for all the Suchek and Jimenez owners out there, for which
right.
I own both, that was a particularly bittersweet moment there. The other night, wasn't it? So it was a very unusual game week.
Essentially, not our fault. It's just 2020 doing 2020 things.
I think you're right. That's what I'm going to put it down to, yeah.
How do you react? I mean, Daniel's saying that he doesn't panic after a bad game week. I very much do. What's your approach, Lee?
I say don't panic as well. I think if you've played your wild card, I'd like to think that you've played it on the basis that you've got the next, you know, 2 to 3 to maybe even longer view of the fixtures in mind. So if you had a bad game week, it was an unusual game week, don't panic. Stick to the plan, assuming you've got one. Trust your wildcard picks from last week.
Excellent. Tom, are you panicking or are you preparing a feverish game week for wildcard draft?
I'm resisting the urge to panic as far as possible. I think as a general rule, patience is an important virtue in fantasy football. And there's nothing worse than making a bunch of hasty changes and then realising that you shouldn't have done, as James, you discovered to your cost.
That's my team name, 3. Hasty Changes FC.
Having said all that, I usually wildcard quite early every season, give myself a few weeks to see who's in form, see who's playing, who isn't playing, and then make a move, wait for all the transfers, all the real world transfers to have taken place. And this week, I did find myself putting together a wild card draft against my better judgment. Just sort of, well, just see what I could do if
do
I
it,
just
Tom.
Sort of got rid
You're
of all these players.
And are now, you tempted? Are you tempted now you've seen it?
My plan is to wait until after the next international break and after the transfer window closes,
right.
And possibly do it ahead of game week 5.
Okay, but who's it? When you put together your wildcard draft, what did you go big on forwards and then just filled in the blanks, or what did you do?
I went very big on forwards. I ended up with a team that had Mo Salah, Kevin De Bruyne, Marcus Rashford, Jamie Vardy, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and Harry Kane. But in a manner reminiscent of Stuart Pearce picking his team and forgetting to choose a goalkeeper when he was player manager at Forest a few years back. I just didn't have any money left for anyone halfway decent. So that draft has remained on the drawing board.
The way my keeper's been performing, I think not picking a keeper would be a great option for future iterations of the game. So would those be kind of, I can't remember how many you listed there, but you had Vardy in there, you had Rashford, you had KDB, of course, Salah. Did you have Harry Kane?
Yes. I basically start off with all the players who I would ideally want, and then I try to build a team around them. And I ended up with a team in which at least four players haven't played a single minute so far, and probably won't all season. So
good to have a bit of balance, Tom.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be discussing all of those players and many, many more in the course of today's show, and also looking at what some of the midweek injuries will mean for those players and also other assets that play alongside them. Don't forget, if you want to take part in our extraordinarily difficult Fantasy Premier League podcast league, the code you need is SMXYTY. Up next, the Game Week 4 fixtures. Game Week 4 of this Premier League season. Don't forget, the deadlines for your fantasy teams have changed this season. 90 minutes now before the first game of the weekend, which means this Saturday you need to get your teams in by 11 o'clock UK time in the morning. All right then, where are the points going to come? Lee, what's caught your attention?
I'm really looking forward to Leeds versus Man City this weekend. I think it's going to be a fantastic game, a big tactical battle between Bielsa and Pep, isn't it? I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be interesting to see what sort of formation Leeds play. Will they play that kind of high press, high intensity 4-1-4-1 that we saw in game weeks 1 and 2 that led to goal fests? Or whether they'll play that 3-5-2 with Ayling coming in at right centre-back and that got them the clean sheet in game week 3. What's interesting, or one of the interesting things that I spotted in the Leeds game so far, is they've conceded 15 chances down their left-hand side. Now, if you look on the other side, on the right for Man City, obviously Mahrez scored a really nice goal in the last game week, but they created a lot down that side. 8 of their 9 chances that they created against Leicester came down that flank. So keep an eye on, obviously, where Kevin De Bruyne plays if you've got him in your side, but definitely keep an eye on Riyad Mahrez. And if you've got him in your team, I think if Leeds play that high press 4-1-4-1 and look weak still on that side, then Mahrez could really take advantage of that the weekend.
Mahrez is the player that you're keen here. What about Leeds, given the way that Man City defended last weekend? I know they've made a significant investment midweek in a new defender, but for example, Patrick Bamford, do you have him? Are you tempted to get him in?
I don't have him, but I am very tempted. Yeah, he had the most shots in that game against Sheffield United of any player on the pitch. 4 shots. Next was Dallas, actually, interestingly, if you're holding him at fullback. But Harrison and Phillips both really impressing me in the 3 game weeks so far. Both 5 chances created each against Sheffield United. So I would say if you're looking to invest in Leeds right now, despite the Ayling and Dallas sort of question that we've all had on our lips, I would say that investing in their attack is probably safer than investing in their defence right now.
Okay. Do you guys, Tom, Daniel, do you have any Leeds or Manchester City assets or looking to get any in?
I brought in Raheem Sterling and made him captain last week, and I brought in Phil Foden with 2 changes.
Nice.
They were kind of long-term changes, of course, because Leicester isn't the easiest fixture, although I thought it would go better than that. But no, I haven't been swayed yet on Leeds. I kind of just wanted to see how they settle in the league. They feel like the team where when I do my wild card, I might bring in a Leeds asset.
Which asset would you bring in, Daniel?
At the moment, I would probably bring in Patrick Bamford. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Matthias Klick is the other one who seems like he's going to play every week with Pablo Hernandez injured a bit and maybe use more off the bench. So Klick or Bamford, I think.
Okay. Tom, what about you?
Yeah, I've got KDB from City and I've got Luke Ayling from Leeds. He was actually my top point scorer last weekend because he got the assist for the Patrick Bamford goal at Sheffield United. I had an inkling that Leeds were going to start the season strongly. And I think one thing you're guaranteed with Leeds is that, you know, they are a very attacking team. And I think this fixture against City, we saw the difficulties that City had against Leicester last weekend. obviously they're bringing in Ruben Dias as their new defensive recruit, but I suspect that, you know, Leeds will want to really get at them. So, I agree with Lee. I can see this being quite a high-scoring match.
What about the other Manchester team, Man United, who are taking on Spurs on Sunday? What are we all to do about Son Heung-min, who went out injured in the course of last week's activities?
So the latest on Son Heung-min is that Jose Mourinho has said he expects him to be back after the international break. He picked up a hamstring injury, so it doesn't look like he'll be involved at Old Trafford this weekend. I have a striker from each of these teams in my team, Anthony Martial, who's been pretty hopeless so far, and Harry Kane, who hasn't been hopeless. So I'll be keeping a close eye on this one. Neither team has yet registered a clean sheet, and both teams are a little bit vulnerable defensively. So I think if you are looking at this fixture, it makes more sense to focus on the attacking assets. Kane, I mentioned, 21 points against Southampton with that incredible 4-assist haul, and then he got the assist for Lucas Moura against Newcastle. And looks in good nick. And then Man United, Bruno Fernandes picked up 12 points against Brighton. Yes, the stoppage time penalty might have been slightly fortuitous, but there was also that glorious assist for Marcus Rashford, which suggests that he's getting back into a bit of form. And then Rashford himself, who took his goal really nicely, didn't look really on it after the restart at the back end of last season, but has looked much more lively. So I suspect there are going to be goals in this game because both of these teams are so much better going forward. And I'm hoping that at least one of them goes to Anthony Martial. Otherwise, he'll be getting the boots pretty sharpish.
Tom, you were saying to maybe steer clear of the defenders in this fixture, but I'm just wondering if anyone's tempted by Sergei Reguilon, the new arrival at Spurs, who looked pretty exciting midweek in the Carabao Cup and will be taking over the left-back slot from Ben Davis?
Yeah, he fits that FPL profile for defenders in that if you can pick a defence full of attacking fullbacks, you're probably onto a good thing. We're yet to see whether Mourinho would shift to the back three to let him play at wing back. But if he does that, then he's certainly a good asset because that was one thing they lacked with Ben Davies. He doesn't have that attacking potential, which Reguilon is very, he's a very modern fullback. He is much better going forward than he is at the back. So I do worry about Spurs' lack of clean sheets because, you are almost giving up the 4-point clean sheet bonus every week, but he will certainly look forward and get crosses in and look to, provide for Harry Kane. I would still focus on attackers rather than defenders. I agree with Tom, though.
So just to touch on, Tom, you mentioned you had Anthony Martial on your team. He seems to have his grumpy face on, doesn't he, at the minute? And we know what happens with Martial when he has his grumpy face on. It's no FPL points. So how do you feel about him? Are you keeping hold of him or selling him?
I mean, I'm keeping him in for this week. But if I do my sort of super spectacular wild card, I suspect he will be booted out. I brought him in because United had that home fixture against Palace, which I confidently predicted would be a home banker and which obviously was the exact opposite. One thing you'd say about Martial was going on last season. He was very reliable as a source of points in home games. Against that, United's next three home games are Spurs, Chelsea and Arsenal, teams who you wouldn't expect him to score a hat load against. So yes, he is in my team for now, but with a rather large question mark above his name.
Okay, lots of people feeling that way about Timo Werner. In fact, lots of people have already got rid of one of the big pre-season signings, the Chelsea forward. 400,000 managers and rising have cleared him out this week, just indeed as he got his first goal for the Blues in the Carabao Cup midweek. Has he had his chance or are they all going to regret that decision, Daniel?
Well, I'm one of the ones who had Timo Werner and still has Timo Werner. He has not scored a goal and he's lost 0.1 million. So it's not been a success so far. But then Chelsea haven't. I think they've probably been the most disappointing FPL team so far. Kai Havertz hasn't really hit the ground running. We mentioned Werner. Mason Mount is the only one really that's stepped on. And I picked out Chelsea Palace as a fixture because I really like the Palace assets. Wilfried Zaha and Andros Townsend have both outscored every single Chelsea player and they're available for 7.2 and 6 million respectively. So we know that Chelsea don't keep clean sheets. So I think this is a really interesting one from a Palace perspective.
Shout out to Reece James though, Daniel, right? I think he's had a really good start to the season. He's nailed down that fullback slot and he's being very creative going forward. And he can score a worldie, as we saw in game week two.
Yeah, that worldie goal is probably the exception rather than the rule. And I think his kind of surprise celebration told us that. But he's certainly dependable. And he's not a premium price defender. So yeah, I think he is the best Chelsea defensive option, but I'd be staying clear of all of them at the moment.
Right. Do you have Chelsea defensive or indeed any Chelsea options at the moment, Lee?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have the aforementioned Reece James, and I hear what Daniel's saying about the clean sheets. They don't look that great, but with the arrival of Mendy, you'd like to think that they've done a good scouting job on him to replace Kepa in goal. You've got to think that they're going to tighten up a bit. And Reece James, I think the clean sheets will come for Chelsea, but 7 successful crosses from open play this season for Reece James. That's more than any other defender. So he's being ultra creative going forward. But for Werner, I have to agree with Daniel. We're really disappointing so far this season. And he is on the chopping block for me, I have to say. I think when Pulisic and Ziyech come back into the team and Frank's got a few more options out wide, I think we'll see the best of Werner then. But it's how long do you wait? Because, you know, these guys aren't coming back imminently, I don't think. Pulisic may be a bit quicker than Ziyech. But at the moment, I think Frank doesn't really know what to do with Werner. And to that end, he's kind of playing him a little bit out of position. And that's no good for us as FPL managers.
Indeed not. Everton Brighton also this weekend. And lots of injury concerns about Carlo Ancelotti's side. Richarlison turning his ankle in their midweek cup game against West Ham. And Alan going out injured as well. It looks like Alan might be the more long-term absentee, though.
Alan is not an obvious FPL asset in that he is very much a holding midfielder. I suppose the concern from an FPL perspective is the impact that could have on players like James Rodriguez, who appears to have really benefited from the support that having Alan and Abdoulaye Doucouré behind him provides. Richarlison sounds more encouraging news. Carlo Ancelotti seemed to think that he'd be okay for this weekend. Obviously, we know what a great partnership he has with Calvert-Lewin. I've got Abdoulaye Doucouré, who I thought was quite advantageously priced at the start of the season and who I brought in and who has done absolutely nothing.
Why did you bring him in, Tom? Abdoulaye Doucouré? It's an interesting pick.
I made the mistake of correctly predicting that Everton would start the season well, but not getting any of their most attractive assets. I was like, well, if everyone else is scoring goals, I'm sure Doucouré could get in. And to be honest, yeah. I mean, you know, you talk about the eye test in FPL, and he does get forward quite a lot. Having Alan in the team enables Doucouré to get forward as well, but sadly that has not yet translated into any FPL points.
All right, I tell you who has translated into all sorts of points for Everton, that's Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Now, another million or so managers have brought DCL in for this game week. Have they missed all the fun?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. He's only just getting started, Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I think you look at his body language, you look at the way he celebrates these goals that he's scoring. I think he got his second hat-trick of the season in the Carabao Cup the other night as well. So he's absolutely on fire right now. And we've said before on these podcasts about the amount of creativity now, not just behind him with James Rodriguez, but on the side of him, up front with him in Richarlison. And then you've got Digne, you know, whipping them in from the back as well. So the service is all there. And he's come out post-match a few times and talked about how Duncan Ferguson is helping him with his first touch finishing, with his aerial ability, etc. So I think he's only just getting started. The only way is up for him.
When you draft your wildcard, Lee, will he be on current form the first name on there?
I wouldn't say first name, but almost certainly be in the wildcard, James. Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Who doesn't have Dominic Calvert-Lewin here?
I don't, I'm afraid.
Really? And none afraid of you do?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like Lee, even when, and let's face it, it's going to be when very soon I have to wildcard, he will be probably the first name on there, because it just feels like one of those players who in 2 or 3 months' time, he would have gone up by 0.3, 0.4 million, maybe even from the starting price, which you just can't afford to miss in FPL.
Well, indeed. Another player whose price is on the rise, Tarik Lamptey. Have we all got him?
Not yet.
No, I don't have Tarik Lamptey. No, really? But I really want him. He looks fantastic.
Yeah. I've got both those players and I still only got 38 points last weekend. What is going on?
Keep the faith, James. Keep the faith.
Yeah, it's so hard though, Lee. All right, well, those are some of the fixtures. I mean, there's interesting points in all of them. We'll touch on some more of the matches indeed in our next section, which is the long view. Time for a bit of forward planning, FPL manager. I love it. So do you. Don't want any of that hastiness. Now, what we do we professionals, is we use the Premier League's fixture difficulty ranking chart, which is available on the app and at premierleague.com, to take a good look at which teams have got the most favourable runs. Those are the ones in green in the coming rounds of matches. The FDR at thepremierleague.com or on the app. So having consulted said wonderful tool, who has got the best fixtures right now? Hey, Lee, who catches your eye?
Well, as we were preparing for the show, I said, well, Leicester look great, right? And on paper, got West Ham at home, Aston Villa away, Arsenal, who's a team that Vardy likes to play against, then Leeds and then Wolves. So on paper, looks great. But actually, if you look at the way that West Ham have changed their system in game weeks 2 and 3, actually not doing too badly. Arsenal just about squeaked past them in game week 2. And then, of course, they had a really good result against Wolves in game week 3. And then Aston Villa, you know, their XGC, their expected goals conceded, is looking pretty favourable. So having pointed out Leicester to you in preparation for the show, I'm actually looking at it now and thinking West Ham and Aston Villa could be actually quite difficult. But having said that, two home games, Leicester have started really, really well. And they've got James Maddison coming back into the fold. And of course, Vardy, despite you know, the underlying statistics not looking too great in terms of touches in the box and shots, he's on penalties and he knows what it takes to win one. So home against those two teams, there's more points for him for sure.
Well, this brings us on to an interesting topic. Vardy, who picked up 17 points as the top scorer in FPL in the last round. But they came on penalties. You take away the penalties, is that going to be sustainable? He's not in open gameplay, really looking like the same kind of points provider. But penalties have been such a key element of the opening rounds of this season. To what extent does seeking out and identifying the spot kick taker in each team and trying to get them into your FPL squads, to what extent has that been guiding your choices of late, Daniel?
I think it's really interesting. The one thing I would potentially look for, and I use Jorginho as a good example, is trying to find a differential and a low price pick who is on penalties. Jorginho's got 12 points so far and he's only 5.1 million. I think that's maybe the key. You can look at it and say, well, Vardy is a striker and he will get open play goals as well. But I think if you can find it, I remember Milivojevic from Palace last season was another great example. Just those cheaper players who are on penalties, I think would be the way to go.
Okay. Who's got penalties at Leeds, by the way? Is it Click?
It is Click. Yeah, I think
yes.
So.
Right. And he's, what, 5.6 million. So that would maybe fit into that category. Or Lee, a player who I think you're interested in, it's slightly more expensive, but Danny Ings, 8.4 million.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's looking like a possible Werner replacement for me this week. Not least because he's playing West Brom, who defensively have looked pretty shocking over the last few game weeks. But the fixtures look good in the medium term for Danny Ings as well. And listen, he is on penalties, but you're not relying on those with Danny Ings.
No.
He's scoring from open play as well. So he's a fantastic pick, in my opinion.
Bruno Fernandes, who you don't have, Tom, is the Man United penalty kick taker. And I think they're second only to Palace in the number of penalties they get awarded.
Yes. And as we saw last season, United do tend to get a lot of penalties, as was the case in that Brighton game. And not only that, but Bruno Fernandes is an exceptionally consistent penalty taker. I think he scored something like his last 18 consecutive penalties, both at Sporting Lisbon and now at Manchester United. He's got different ways of taking penalties. He does this sort of Jorginho little jump sometimes. Sometimes he just goes for power and placement. And given the way that United play and the number of quick dribblers they have at the top end of the pitch, you know, Martial, Rashford and Greenwood, it's no surprise that they win so many penalties. And given that Bruno is so reliable from 12 yards, I think that's definitely something worth bearing in mind, particularly as penalties being awarded, in particular for handball, seem to be on the rise.
Would you now not select a player who doesn't take spot kicks? Is it influencing your decisions to the point which you're only getting forward to who are probably going to be involved in at least set pieces and hopefully penalties?
Not necessarily, but I think if I found myself with a decision between two players and one of them was a penalty taker and one of them was not, and there wasn't much else between them, I would go with the penalty taker.
Okay, who's going to be taking Everton's penalties if Richarlison's out with his ankle?
It's a good question, that. It's a good question. I don't think we know, actually. I would say, I mean, obviously, you jump to Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but I don't think in my head I can picture him taking many penalties in the past. And it could be James Rodriguez, of course.
Abdoulaye Doucouré, I've heard.
Doucouré's the one. Yeah, you could well be right, Tom.
Yeah, he's going to be taking all set pieces from now on, can confirm officially.
Daniel, it's West Brom for you, isn't it? But presumably
yes.
Not their defenders.
Well guessed, James. No, and West Brom might seem like a bit of a rogue left field pick, but actually the fixtures coming up in terms of their attacking assets are pretty good. They play Southampton, Burnley, Brighton, Fulham and Tottenham, and those five teams have only kept two clean sheets between them this season. West Brom have scored five goals in the last two games, which is a bit of a surprise, including the three against Chelsea. And I just think it comes down to those three attacking players, Grady Diangana, Mateus Pereira and Callum Robinson. They're all cheap, exactly as with the Palace. If you find the gold dust in these lower half teams, you can really get some value, I think. And yeah, Pereira is the one I'd go for, and I might talk about him later. But any one of those three, I think you could pick up for a very cheap price.
We'll be talking about low ownership, high return players later on with the return of the essential differential. Next up, though, we're going to be answering this week's Wednesday tweet, which was, who's been your surprise FPL asset so far? Listeners, many thanks for getting in touch with the hashtag FPLpod on Twitter. Our question was, who's been your surprise FPL asset so far? Your answers are as follows. Lewis, my surprise asset, is Bamford. Really, really cheap. Three goals on the bounce, turning into the biggest current bargain he is, isn't he?
Yeah, it looks really good, doesn't he? Really, really good. And I like the creativity that's around him with Phillips and Harrison. Yeah, it's bargain buy. Not on penalties, as we mentioned before. Click is the man for those. But doesn't look like he needs them. 3-3.
Very nice. Jamie says, got a big Tyrek Mitchell. Yeah, and just Crystal Palace in general. That dude was supposed to be perma-benched. Well, yeah, we touched on the reasons for his current inclusion in the team and why it might not be a long-term thing. Left-back FBL says, got to be Castagna. What yeah, a lad. Nice. And some nice fixtures coming up for Leicester. Remortgage and pile on, people.
I generally try and get as many lads in my team as possible when I'm picking, team. That's my number one criteria.
Right. But Castagna, if there's one player that I regret not having him, it's him, I think.
Yeah, and you think when Ricardo Pereira's back, you assume he'll take over at right back and Castagna will switch to the left back position. I mean, what a pair of fullbacks they are. I mean, we saw how vital Castagna was to Leicester's victory at the Etihad last weekend, notably setting up that goal for Jamie Vardy. I think he looks like a really, really exciting FPL asset, yeah.
Haber says, Bowen is my surprise asset so far because people laughed at me for bringing him in. They're not laughing now, are they, Abbas? And Anger says, Pereira for sure, a pleasant surprise from West Brom.
The only thing I'd say about Jared Bowen, and he was obviously exceptional in that game against Wolves and who I think has performed pretty impressively ever since he arrived at West Ham, is that West Ham's fixtures are horrible. They're Leicester away, Spurs away, then City at home, Liverpool away. I'd temper that again by saying that this is a very uncertain, a very unusual start to the season, so you never know. But that's one thing to bear in mind if you're looking at West Ham players.
All right. Well, what about you guys then? What have been your surprise assets so far? Tom?
Probably Abdoulaye Doucouré, I'd say. he's currently averaging 2 points a game. So he's come in and he's just sort of ticking along quietly in exactly the way that I hoped.
Keep the faith. excellent. Well, we've touched on one or two of the low ownership players already, but up next, let's have a quick round of essential differential. Looking out for the surprise stars that other FPL managers will envy you for. Players with less than 10% ownership who are going to reap you big points in the games to come. And Tom, who have you got earmarked for us?
I've gone for Daniel Pedence of Wolves, who I brought in last weekend and who scored 0 points for me because he sustained a shoulder injury and didn't play. So an inauspicious start to his time in my team. But that aside, he's made a pretty promising start to the season. Two assists in two games, £5.6 million, which is a decent price for an attacking midfielder. And he has played in that front three that Wolves have used. So he's playing high up the pitch, only owned by 5.8% of teams. So differential value there. And as we've touched on previously, Wolves have got a decent run of games coming up. Home to Fulham, away at Leeds, and then home to Newcastle and home to Crystal Palace. So assuming that he gets back into the team quickly, I think he's someone worth having a look at.
Yeah, I think Nuno Espirito Santo could put you and I up front, Tom, against that pretty terrible-looking Fulham defence. I think Odoi and Ream would even give us a chance. So, yeah, nice pick.
All right. Sorry about that, Fulham supporting listeners. Are you keeping the faith, broadly speaking, Tom, with with Wolves players and Lee. I'm not sure how many you got in, but certainly in my wild card, I went for the full three and was a bit perturbed at what then unfolded at West Ham.
I think you should keep the faith. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've mentioned the Fulham game, but after that, it's Leeds, Newcastle and Crystal Palace. So the next four look good. I've got Pedence, I've got Raul Jimenez, and yeah, very happy to have both of those.
Okay. And who would be your differential pick this week, Lee?
So I've gone back to Leicester. I've gone for James Maddison. And I knew I was coming on the podcast this week. So, and as soon as he came on, I was kind of looking for him to do something against Man City, because Man City did look sort of ready for taking, didn't they, at the end of that game. And he came on with 21 minutes to go, got a goal and assist and a bonus point. A bonus point in 21 minutes, which is incredible. Mm. He had such a different dimension to Leicester. He's only 2.9% owned, so he's proper differential. It's a bit of a toss-up between him and Harvey Barnes, actually. Harvey Barnes has had a good start to the season as well. He's only 5.6% owned, so still a differential. Both at the same price, 7 million. So difficult to say which one I would go for either way. But I think James Maddison coming back into the team, Leicester on form. I think he's going to come in as a kind of direct replacement for Dennis Pratt in that lead, that Leicester midfield. I think he's going to be good.
Daniel, who would be your differential pick?
Well, I'm going extremely left field. I'm going for a 0.8% Pedro Ooh. Neto, who is 5.5 million, is classed as a midfielder, but clearly plays a little bit higher than that. And also is Wolves' top chance creator this season, ahead of, you know, the likes of Pedence and Adama Traore. So, yeah, I like Neto.
Right. And how much does Diogo Jota moving on, how does that affect that?
Well, I think Jota was arguably Wolves' fourth or fifth choice forward anyway. I think Neto was probably ahead of him in the queue. So I think he's an automatic starter these days.
All right, then. Very shortly, we'll be checking on what last-minute moves you're going to be making. Obviously not Tom in this instance. And who we're going to be awarding the captain's armband to. Probably the biggest decision of your fantasy week. That's up next. Excellent. Well, having heard all of that, any last-minute moves planned, Daniel, for game week four?
No transfers, I don't think. Mohamed Salah captain against Aston Villa. And right. Cross my fingers like you wouldn't believe.
I see. Lee,
it's the hope
about
that kills you,
you
Daniel.
And I don't even have that.
Yeah, well, I've got some hope, I think. I look at my team on paper for this week, as I did in game week three, and think it's going to be great, and it just wasn't. So anyway, I think transfer for this week is going to be Werner out. It just depends on whether I'm going to play my wild card in the international break as to who I bring in. The sensible transfer is to bring in Danny Ings, as I mentioned before, against West Bromwich Albion. But if I fancy playing my wild card next week, then maybe I have a bit of a hit on a differential and look at Lacazette, as I said before. But I think it's going to be Danny Ings, and the captaincy is going to be, I think, Danny Ings, you know. I think if I bring him in, I'm probably going to captain him against West Brom.
Really? That's a great shout. Tom, what about you?
Plan A is to ship out William Saliba, who somewhat incredibly is still in my squad, having not played a single minute of football in the league for Arsenal this season, and replace him with Tyrick Mitchell for that trip to Chelsea for Crystal Palace. Plan B is to play the wild
Tear it
card
up.
And pick that absurdly attacking team that I mentioned earlier.
Brilliant. All right. Well, I know which one I'm hoping for. Based on your current team, who would get your captain's armband?
At the moment, it's Mo Salah, Liverpool away at Villa. Obviously, you've got to look at Abdoulaye Doucouré as well, Everton at home to Brighton. And at some point, he is going to come good. But no, keeping it with Salah for now.
Is he in your wild card, Tom, Doucouré? Will he be
of course,
in Plan B?
Naturally, of course. Yeah. I'm even going to change my team name to like Doucouré's Heroes or something.
Magnificent. Every game week so far for me has involved a transfer of Son Heung-min, either in or out. I had him in for game week one, got rid, got him back in again. And then as soon as he pulled up, or as soon as he didn't come out for the second half last weekend for Spurs, he was immediately out for me so that I could bring in James Rodriguez. That is my transfer for this week. Uniquely, I'm going to keep myself to just the one free transfer. As for where the captain's armband goes, I have no idea. My choices have not worked out so far. I've got Salah, I've got De Bruyne, I've got Calvert-Lewin at home to Brighton. Should I be looking at him, perhaps, to wear my colours?
Yes, you should, James, because if you go Salah and Tom and I have him as well, that's him guaranteed not to score.
Magnificent. All right. Well, so many things to decide, but everything has to be sorted for 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, 90 minutes before game week four kicks off. Many, many thanks to Lee, to Daniel and to Tom for being with us today. Remember, before the deadline. If you want more top FPL content like the FPL show, then you can find all of that over at PremierLeague.com, home, of course, of the FDR chart, the essential tool for fantasy managers. We'll be back next Thursday, hopefully talking about our record-breaking point-scoring weekend. Do make sure you join us for that and have a super time in the meanwhile.